Isn't it great to be in this place tonight? Amen. Man, just a, I honestly was sitting there and thinking, I don't want to be in any other place but this place tonight. The Spirit of God's here, just what we felt, what we've experienced, and plus Miss Macy and Miss Morgan are here. I'm so excited. They made it safely. Hallelujah. Are y'all ready? Man, we got a long way to go and a short time to get there. Fasten your pew belts and open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We've made it to chapter 9. And just for some of you that see some fresh faces tonight, we'll get a quick recap. We've already looked at the Scripture and found that the Scripture definitely teaches there are three different manners of giving taught about in Scripture, right? We all know that. I mean, you know that, but we need to be reminded of it, that the tithe is the Lord's. You're to give that? That's by commandment. I mean, you don't even have a debate in that one. But then there's a love offering, free will offering, that you can choose to give or not give, and that comes from your heart. But there's a third manner of giving that's specifically laid out in Scripture for the propagation of the gospel of Jesus Christ, getting the gospel out of these doors into the uttermost parts of the earth. It's laid out in these three chapters of 2 Corinthians, and we're just going verse by verse and discovering it together, right? And we got all the way up to the point where yesterday we talked about the churches of Macedonia as a great example of poor churches, even because most people, I mean, immediately they start talking about, well, I ain't got any money to give to that and mission work. You know, I'm already giving the tithe, and that just about wipes me out. I know. I live there too. I understand this. But the Bible is very clear. Man, this is a whole special category. It's a different category where God's going to do some special blessing on you if you participate in it. And we're going to find that out tonight. I'm excited about tonight because we get to get some positive territory. I mean, we found about the poor churches of Macedonia. They gave above and beyond their ability to give. I mean, in their poverty, their deep poverty, they enriched all the other saints by getting up an offering for the missionary entourage, right? We learned about that. But the best example, we learned about Jesus himself, who left glory. That's a gift of grace like no other. That's grace giving in its ultimate. You know, he became poor that we might become rich. Amen. One person remembers. Amen. 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 Do you feel rich tonight? Well, it's so exciting. We ended the whole thing with Paul kind of just, you know, he was defending himself. You remember that? I mean, he even talked out. This is how down to earth this whole thing is. If Paul had to spend some time defending himself, saying, listen, I'm not in here for your money. I'm not even doing the missionary handshake. You know, that's not why I'm here. It's not. It's for the glory of God. I mean, this is all for his honor and glory. And so here we get to start chapter 9. I love it. You want to talk about reality? Have you heard Paul talk to the church? I mean, he's going to get serious with them right here. So starting in verse 1 of chapter 9, for as touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you. For I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you of them of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many. He's already bragging on them, you know, in the church at Corinth, and he's talking about those churches of Macedonia and the church at Achaia. Man, they have been so excited about this missions conference. It's coming up. We're coming. The missionaries are going to be there. They're going to present their reports, and we're all going to get excited about it. And just like the brother, you know, I'm going to go there, and I'm going to go there, and you know, I want to go to Sicily now. I'm kind of excited about that little opportunity outside the base and 10,000 people flowing through there, and you get to tell them about Jesus. It's great opportunities. I'm excited about it. This little church is going to stir up some excitement, right? He said, man, you provoke many. Verse 3, yet have I sent the brethren. Okay, I'm just laughing by myself. Lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this behalf, that as I said, ye may be ready. Lest haply, if they of Macedonia come with me and find you unprepared, we should be ashamed in the same confident boasting. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof ye had noticed before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not as of covetousness. Has anybody spent time reading that passage? Does that not reality where the rubber meets the road? Did anybody catch what was going on in that whole those four verses? Or you just, I never paid attention. He's getting down to the nitty-gritty right here. And he's talking to the church like, in reality, you know, I've been bragging on you folks for a year. I've heard about you. I'm talking to you now. This is not Paul talking to. I'm talking to you, Morning Star. I've heard that little Macy spout off about her great home church. And listen, this is good stuff. You don't all have to be nervous. Everybody gets nervous every time I start meddling with you. I am serious. I'm serious. I love to hear about a church that loves mission work, that's doing mission work, not a humongous, you know, mega church. You folks are down-to-earth folks that just love the missions, you love missionaries, and you love the Lord, and you want to serve Him, right? Everybody goes, yeah, amen, amen. And I've heard about this. I had heard about it ahead of time. I was excited to come here. So in that sense, I feel like Paul, you know, I'm really excited, and so I'm talking to you all tonight. You know, you asked me to preach your mission conference. You had no idea what you were getting into. I've already heard a little feedback. What? We never heard it on this wise before, brother. It's all scripture. I'm not making anything up. It's coming right straight from the Word. But here is where Paul made me laugh so much. I mean, you can just hear it in his voice, in the writing. You know, he's saying, man, I've been bragging on you for a year. I've been telling all the folks in Macedonia about this gift you're getting together for the missionary entourage, you know, and it's all exciting, and we're on our way. We're coming to receive the gift. But just in case you forgot, just in case, you know, because it was a year ago, you might have forgot what you promised. That hits home, doesn't it? You might have forgot. Well, I'm going to send a few of the fellows ahead of time, you know, just kind of, shh, they're coming. You know, we don't want you to be ashamed, or me to be, well, me, lest I should say you. He's really saying you. I don't want you to be ashamed, because I don't want to be ashamed of you. I mean, that's serious. He got down dirty with them. Listen. I got a bunch of people depending on you. If you stop and think about it, you know, these folks that are heading out, they're depending on you. You're holding the rope. You're on this end. Man, they're depending on you. They count on you. I've been there. I've been on the other end of the rope, and you're just desperately waiting to hear from somebody, and you're waiting on that support to come, and you're living by, you know, month by month and everything. And those, we loved when birthdays came around, and you never realize what one little thank you card or one little card we're praying for you means when you're out there alone and on the other end of the rope. It really does matter. It really does uplift the spirits, and it helps. And all that time, this is kind of what this is all, that passage is talking about. Paul said, listen, I know you guys. You have such a love for the Lord and an earnestness, and you've talked about it, and you've been so excited about giving this gift. And it, just in case you forgot, I'm just gently reminding you. Man, that's reality. What do you think a mission conference is all about? I know y'all love the Lord, but just in case you got tied down in a whole bunch of other stuff, like life. Guess what gets put on the back burner? It really does. And so this whole thing is about bringing it back up to the front. It's putting it where it belongs. This is number one priority for this church and all of you as members of this church. The outreach mission program of this church is top billing. Amen. It's what's supposed to be. I get a mission director amen back there. Amen. Thanks, brother, but you ain't going to like what comes next. Because immediately after he said that, he gave the formula. I mean, this is all in context, and I want you to see this. This is a verse that you've used for a whole bunch of different things, but now in context, pay attention to what he says. Right after verse 5, he said that you might be ready as a matter of bounty and not as of covetousness. You see, he's talking about himself again. When I come and ask for this money that you've prepared, I don't want you to think that I'm coveting it. No, it's because you promised to give it to the Lord. I'm just coming as a bounty. It's your bounty that you're giving to the work of the Lord. And that is what this mission conference is all about, right? He said, so, verse 6, but this I say, me, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Man, I'm telling you, I never saw this part of Paul before. He's telling it like it is, and he's laying it on the line. And this is in context about grace giving, about mission giving, this sowing sparingly and reaping sparingly. Some people use that for tithe or use it for other stuff. That's not what it's about. In context, he's saying, you have a choice in how much you want to give to the outreach program of this church to do mission work in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. And I just want to give you a little formula from God. If you give a little, you'll get a little. If you give a lot, you'll get a lot. Sowing and reaping. I know you all know it, but now isn't it fun to put it into context that it's about this, what we're talking about tonight? Not about anything else, but it's about your grace gift that you're getting ready to decide what to give. You know, you're going to write it on a little piece of paper. And he just wants to throw this out. I'm not saying this, but the Holy Spirit has directed Paul to say this. Just take into consideration the amount you put on there is the amount God is going to reward you. He's going to take account. If you just sow a little, he'll honor that a little. If you sow a lot, he'll honor it a lot. And then in verse 7, this is it. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. How many times have you heard that verse used for the tithe, for everything else? Do you see it in context? I never noticed that in context, it's really specifically talking about your faith promise gift, your grace giving. It really is. And that's where you need to be cheerful about it. Thank you for that smile. They're not sure. Am I supposed to smile here? No. Not yet, because verse 8 says, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Do you see the promise in this formula is amazing? That if you'll give and give cheerfully, God can make that grace gift abound so much that you will be blessed and able to abound in all good works. Did you follow that? Amen. Well, this is the only 5-point sermon I'm going to give you tonight. You know, and there has not been a single point in any of this, right? I did alliterate 5 P's for this. Are you ready? I like it, so I'm just going to give it to you. It's no extra charge. This is a personal giving. He said, let every man. It's very personal. Faith promise is, it's between you and God. It's not what anybody else says to you. It's not what anybody else dictates. It's whatever you purpose in your heart. It's a personal giving. It is a planned giving according as he purposes in his heart. So you plan to do this. You figure it out. You think of a figure, and you plan to give this figure weekly, monthly, yearly, whatever you've got planned, you plan it. It's personal between you and God, and it's planned. It's also persistent. So let him give. Don't just say you're going to do it and then don't do it. You have to be persistent. Amen. Amen. See, I can do an alliterated sermon. Amen. Get 5 points out in 5 minutes. It's pretty good, isn't it? It's a positive giving. Amen. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. So every time the pastor stands up here and calls the ushers and say, y'all give cheerfully now. You've done that, haven't you? He's out of context. You can be unhappy with the tithe. Just kidding. You lay it on him because you learned Bible right here, right? No, I'm going to... This tithe is coming out hard. But I'm happy with the faith promise. Of course, that doesn't mean that. I'm sorry. You know I'm having a little fun, right? Okay. You ought to be cheerful in all you're given to the Lord. You really ought to. He loveth a cheerful giver. Never grudgingly. You must be positive about this. It's a positive thing. Personal, planned, persistent, positive, and it's a proving giving. I had to figure out a P for that. Proving. What do you mean? As we give by faith, we allow God to prove that God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound in every good work. You can put God to the test on this. If you'll give cheerfully to the Faith Promise Outreach Mission Program of this church, God will make all things abound efficiently into every good work for you. Come on, it's a formula. I love it. But it doesn't end there. This really is brand new for me. Now, I've told you, and I started this whole thing out with 40 years I've been listening to preachers preach Faith Promise and this whole principle thing and all this, and I never saw what's coming next until just this year, this last year, when I looked at this. And this all became new to me. When he said in verse 9, as it is written, he's continuing the thought. He that hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. This is in Psalm 112, verse 9. But he said this, this is all in the same psalm. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. He used a verse to teach faith promise mission givings. The result of that is, who's the one doing that has the seed? Who is the one? Who's the ultimate one that's giving the seed to us to sow? You see, it's all right here in a beautiful picture that I never saw before. And the most interesting thing about the picture, he said the one that's ministering the seed to the sower, we're the sowers, he's the one ministering the seed to us so that we can minister the seed to others. But he said that also ministers seed for your bread. Did you? I never, listen, this is a promise from God. He said, God will give you what you need to sow, and part of that that you're going to sow to others will actually feed you and create enough extra seed that you can plant and grow and have extra fruits for your righteousness. Man, when I put that together in a picture, it's just so... You all were way ahead of me. I can see it. What, you're just now learning that, brother? Seriously, I had never seen that verse in that context in what we've just laid out because we're going verse by verse, you know. People take stuff out of context all the time. They just put it over here and put it over there. But when I see this picture, it's a beautiful picture of true grace giving. When he said, give of yourselves first. And this grace gift is really what grace God is giving to you in the first place, that you're just ministering, you're sowing the seed that he has ministered the seed to you. And he promised that if you sow sparingly, you'll reap sparingly. But if you sow bountifully, you'll reap bountifully. So here's the kicker, you know. Everybody's worried about, man, if I give that, I'm not going to have anything left over. That verse just said, if you'll sow bountifully, you'll get bread. You'll be fed from what you sow. This is where it's not magical. It's nothing mystical about this transaction. From what you have, you figure out how much you want to give. You take a percentage of that and you sow it. You give it. God promised that depending on how much you sow, he'll sow back to you. He'll feed you with that, what you're sowing, and give you fruits for your righteousness. Fruits. What do we all know? Fruits. Soul saved, man. That's all in that verse. And that's Bible. I didn't have to make anything up. It's as clear. It's wonderful. So, verse 11, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God, for the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgiving unto God. So he's still continuing the thought. This ministering of the seed, the sowing of the seed, will minister to the saints. It's not only going to help people get saved, but it's also going to grow you. Well, two or three got excited about that. We're going to get blessed from it. Man, and it's just going to cause us to give thanksgiving to God. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Man, we ought to be really excited about this. This is what Paul was so excited about, and I finally got a hold of this. I said, this is what it's about. Yes, I want to sow more because I get blessed more. And I just want to thank God more. I mean, I can see it. It does work this way. So whilst by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. And by their prayer for you, which long after you, for the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. Again, another verse that you've used in other parts, but all in context. Did you follow this pattern, this formula? The more we get excited about doing mission work and sowing seeds to the missionary, the more we're going to be blessed, get a return, get bread to eat ourselves, get fruits for our righteousness, right? And then he said, all of them are going to be so grateful, they'll be thanking God for you. And then God's going to be happy about you. Did you get all that in there, or did I go too fast? It is all right there. Chapter 9 is a fantastic chapter that I just missed all the good stuff. All I can remember is you sow a little, you reap a little. You know, them preachers really hammer on that, right? It's true. But also, I never realized, man, that's such a beautiful picture that the seed that we're sowing comes from God anyway. It's not anything you have. You don't have to worry like, oh, I can't afford this. I can't do it. Yes, you can. The grace from God that supplies your need, if you'll sow that seed that's been ministered to you, just sow it right back out there. Some of it's going to drop in the oven and bake bread for you. That's just it's a cool picture. You know, I don't know where the oven's right there in front of you while you're sewing. It just drops right in there. A little yeast. That's what it says. And the picture means, yes, God has definitely been faithful and good to me. The more I invest my time, efforts, talents, money in the propagation of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the more I receive blessing after blessing. That's just, I don't understand. Where does it come from? How is this happening? I don't deserve this. You said it, and I don't. But I'm so grateful. Yeah. Amen. And I've got people on remote islands of Vanuatu that have named their children Douglas. They're crazy. They're thanking me for going there and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they're so grateful, they named their children. That's kind of exciting. Is that too much bragging? I got a little Douglas running around in Tana. I mean, I was so honored by that. And it's kind of what this verse is saying. They will thank you. Because you sowed the seed. It wasn't even your seed in the first place. To God be the glory. God gave you the seed. You just sowed it. And you get to reap the benefits. It's a win-win. You can't lose this. So guess where it all comes back down to? It's all back to that decision. I don't want to be ashamed now. I've told you all this good stuff. Now don't go home and, yeah, that was all good preaching. But we ain't got nothing. I know what it's like. Reality is like, but I'm trying to get you to see a whole different plane. The spiritual application of this is real. It is so real. And if we can just realize the seed comes from him in the first place, he that ministereth the seed to the sower is God. We're the sowers, and when we sow the seed, some of that seed gives us bread. Some of that seed saves those that we're sowing it to. They thank God for it, and they thank us for it. And then that seed just falls right there and gives us fruits to righteousness. Hallelujah. I want to be a part of this. I want to be involved in this. I really do. I want to have a part. So, and again, we talk about this. It doesn't matter how big or how small. Rich or poor, everybody can participate with the same ability. That there will be equality. Whatever gift you give does not have to be what gift you give. God knows. And he will respond to the sowing that you, the seed you sow, and the seed you sow, and the seed you sow. The key here is you need to sow some seed. Don't sit back, well, everybody else will do it. They don't need mine. You're missing out on an incredible program that God has presented in these chapters of the Scripture that I just love now. Just really enjoying looking at it for what it says and not adding to it or taking away from it. I think it's all right there for you to digest. We're not done yet, though, so don't think that's the end. We still have tomorrow night, right? We still have Wednesday night? Please come back. I really love that you're listening. And I trust the Holy Spirit of God is speaking to you through his word. And maybe you can see something fresh, something new in these scriptures like I did, and just get it in love with the Lord again and in love with this program. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And when he left, he said, as the Father sent me, even so send I you. And he was talking to us. We are to be seeking and to save them which are lost. That is our call in this life. And we got to get busy doing it. And one way you can do it is by giving a gift of grace in this local church. Make sure the gospel gets out to the regions beyond. And I know God will bless you for it. Amen. Let's stand together. Heavenly Father, again, I just want to close by saying your word is so wonderful, so rich, so powerful. It is able to change our hearts and minds and cut asunder to the depths of our soul when we really listen to what you have to say. And help us to have a cheerful, indeed a grateful spirit, wanting to participate in the outreach program of this local church. This is where you are. You are the head of this church, and all the members here, each individual one has a personal responsibility to contribute something above their tithe and their offering to the Faith Promise Mission Program. Father, I just ask your Holy Spirit to touch the hearts and lives of these folks, and we all need to have a deep conversation with you and decide what we're willing and able to do. Whatever we decide, to do it diligently and persistently, knowing that souls will be saved, this church will be blessed, lives and hearts will be changed. And that's such a wonderful proposition when we think of all Jesus had to go through on the cross of Calvary to put this into practice. And help us to further that gospel message of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, because we've asked it in his name. Amen.